Another great messianic text is found in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. In this great text, Isaiah becomes a type again of Jesus, and Jesus quotes this text in its final fulfillment in him in the book of Luke chapter 4 as an annunciation of his ministry, and this is especially developed in the Gospel of Luke. It begins, Ruach Adonai Elohim alai, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Notice Ruach is the noun meaning spirit, and it is in construct with Adonai, the Lord. And Elohim, notice the pointing of the Yod He Vav He and a Chat He Segol, and the I vowel, Hirik under the Bab, and the O, Holam above the Bab, indicating it should be read as Elohim. So behold, the Lord God is upon me. Al is your preposition, upon, followed by the pronominal suffix, first common singular, in the I. And notice the, normally we have a pathak yod as the pronominal suffix, but here it's a comets yod because it's in pause right after the, notice the athnak occurring right after the comets. So it's in pause, so we lengthen that vowel from a pathak to a comet. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Ya'an Mashach, because he, the Lord, has anointed me. Notice Ya'an is just your preposition or your conjunction, because, followed by the verb Mashach. Notice Mashach is just your cal perfect, third masculine singular, from the root Mashach. This is where we get the word Mashiach, or Messiah, the anointed of God. And then in the New Testament, Christos in the Greek, the anointed, which actually is the Septuagint rendering of the word Mashiach. So because the Lord has anointed, and here we have the Yod He Vav He, Yahweh, has anointed me. Notice OT is your personal pronoun in the object form. So the Lord has anointed me, levaser anavim, to bring good tidings to the poor, to the humble, the needy. Notice, as we look at the phrase here, levasar is your PL infinitive construct. Notice the basar means to preach good tidings, and we have the A-class vowel followed under the bait, followed by the doubling of the sin, which shows that it is a PL intensive form, and the lamed appears prior to it, showing that we're looking at a construct, or actually an infinitive, PL infinitive construct in this form. And so, we read, you have anointed me, or the Lord has anointed me, to bring good tidings to the anavim. Notice anavim means poor, or the weak ones, those who are suffering. And notice we have the im ending, showing that we're looking at a plural noun, and the singular is anav, with two commas, meaning poor. So to preach good tidings to the poor, or the meek, shelachani lechavosh, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Notice, shelachani is the like how perfect third masculine singular from shalach, followed by the pronominal suffix in the e, the nun being a hinge here. So he has sent me, and now we have the infinitive, the kal infinitive construct in lachavosh. He has sent me to bind up lenishbare lev, to bind up the broken of heart, or the brokenhearted. Notice chavesh goes with the lamed, which is that inseparable preposition before the nifal form nishbare, and so he has sent me to bind the broken of heart. The root is from shavar, to break, and this is a nifal participle, masculine plural in construct with lev, to those broken of heart ones, we could say, he has sent me. Notice the nun gives it away as a nifal form here, and it is in construct with lev, and the tseriyod shows that we're looking at a plural participle here, masculine, that is in construct with the noun lev. So he has sent me to bind up the broken hearted ones, the broken ones of heart, we could say. Likro lishvuyim deror, to proclaim to the captives liberty. Notice likro is your kal infinitive construct with the lamed, showing that we are looking at an infinitive that's in construct, to proclaim, and now we have to those who are captive. Notice lish vuyim is from shava. It's a lamed he verb, meaning to be captive. And the he has dropped out. And what we have here then is a kal passive participle with the plural, masculine plural ending in the im. So shavuyim. And since it was originally a lamed yod verb, that yod has reappeared here. So to call the ones who have been made captive. And then what the proclamation to those who have been made captive is liberty. So to proclaim to those who have been made captive, deror, liberty. And this is a wonderful word that is used in connection with, in Leviticus chapter 25, with the year of Jubilee. And so we're looking at a complete liberation of slaves and others on that day. And here, that terminology is being used not only of Isaiah and his message, but ultimately of Jesus Christ, who brings liberty to those who are captive to sin by their faith in him as Lord and Savior. And then he goes on to say, Vela asurim bekach koach, and to the those that are bound. And notice the asur again is showing a kal passive participle, and it's from the root asar, and that short gives it away as a passive participle between the samek and the resh. And the im ending is showing that it is a masculine plural form. And notice the vav is just your conjunction followed by your pronominal suffix in the lamed. And so to those who have been bound, pekach koach. And pekach koach goes together as one phrase. or one word, and what it actually means is that those who have been bound, he is going to give a freeing or an opening, a clear opening. And that is what the word means, where there is going to be a wide, clear opening, perhaps in their freedom that he's going to give them, as well as their eyes that would be open and they would witness and see that great deliverance that the Lord is going to bring, ultimately, again, looking at the work of Christ and the opening of the eyes of those that are blind to salvation in him. When we think of this verse, our mind goes to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and sight to the blind. He has sent me to the to send forth to the oppressed that which will result in release, and then to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus closed the book in the synagogue and said, as he began to speak, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And from that point on, throughout the book of Luke, we are seeing all of these particulars fulfilled. He has already been anointed by the Spirit. We see that in chapter 3, where the Spirit descends upon Jesus bodily as a dove, preparing him for his earthly ministry. We then see that he begins to preach to the poor and to those that are oppressed. Over and over we have the words, "Blessed are you poor, you who are oppressed." We see that in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus pronounces happiness to the poor and to the oppressed that he has come to bring. And the whole book of Luke is the elevation of the downtrodden and the poor. "And he has sent me to preach release to the captives." And again, in the book of Luke, as this is applied to Jesus, it's those who are captive in sin. A classic example of that is the prodigal son, and God's great grace in chapter 16, seen as he pours out forgiveness, and of course, Jesus up on the cross crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it's through the work of the cross that forgiveness is given to those who are captive in sin when they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And then there is sight to the blind. Full sight is the idea. And of course, again, as we look at the book of Luke, those who are spiritually blind, when they come to Christ, their eyes see. And it's like a full vision now of where salvation and deliverance is. And then to preach to those that are oppressed, release. And of course, again, in the Gospel of Luke, that is exactly what Jesus preached and what he accomplished, release for those who are oppressed by sins of every sort, who put their faith in him as Lord and Savior. So this great text has its fulfillment in the ministry of Jesus, and the Gospel of Luke, actually, in the Gospel of Luke, this is the text that Jesus uses to announce what would happen in his ministry. And then in verse 2 of Isaiah, it reads, "Likro shenat ratzon la'adonai," to proclaim the year, the acceptable year to the Lord. Now notice in this verse that we have again the kal infinitive construct in lekro from the verb kara, to call or to proclaim, and then the year of acceptance. Notice shenat is in construct with ratzon. The year of, we could say, good favor or acceptance. It's that year of jubilee, that year of deliverance. And notice shena becomes shenat in construct with ratzon here. So to call the year of good pleasure of the Lord, or concerning the Lord. So this is the Lord's year of good pleasure. The year of jubilee is the illustration in the background. And of course, the whole ministry of Christ is like the year of jubilee, setting free those that have been in bondage to sin and Satan. And again, the book of Luke and all of the Gospels set forth that reality of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Vayom Nakam Le Eloheinu, to the, and the day of vengeance of our God. So he's going to proclaim that, and the Vav is just your conjunction here, and Yom is in construct, meaning day, with Nakam, the word vengeance. And of our God, notice Leloheinu, to our God, we have the Lamed prefix. Leloheinu becomes Leloheinu. Historically, the comets, or the Chatef Segol under the Aleph, has dropped out, and we have then compensatory lengthening under the Lamed from a Segol to a Tseri, with the Aleph being quiescent here. And the Einu is your pronominal suffix, first common plural, our God. So he is saying, and the day of the vengeance of our God to proclaim. Certainly Jesus talked about both the judgment as well as the salvation that would come through belief or disbelief in him as Savior. Throughout the teaching of the Gospels, there is that emphasis. For example, Jesus in John 5 says that there's a day coming of a resurrection of all who sleep in the dust, some to life and some to death. All will be raised. There'll be a resurrection unto life, a resurrection unto death, the opposite. And that is, again, a proclamation of the judgment of God as well as the salvation that is to be brought at the return of Jesus Christ. Salvation for those who have faith in him. Judgment upon those who reject him. For example, in John chapter 5, it says, "Marvel not that an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice," that is, the voice of Christ, "and they will come forth, they who have done good unto a resurrection of life, and they who have done worthless things unto a resurrection of judgment." Now, this does not mean that people are saved by their works, but can we say their works declare whether their faith is real, whether their faith in Christ is real? So throughout the book of John, these things are written that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, and that knowing that, through faith in him, you might have life. Again, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But he who believes not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." In John chapter 3. So we have both truths taught by our Lord Jesus Christ. The year of the vengeance of God at the return of Christ, which would bring judgment to those that would reject his salvation, And the works spoken of, the worthless works, are simply the indication that real faith is not there. It's like I've said many times, if there's fire in the fireplace, there should be smoke coming out of the chimney. It is the fire that saves us, which is by faith alone. But if we have faith alone, then that fire should produce the works, the smoke coming out of the chimney, that indicate the reality of that faith. And so Jesus preached both the eternal salvation of those who believe in him and the eternal judgment of those who would reject him at his second coming. And so he did proclaim the year of the vengeance of our God. Then he's also is going to comfort all who mourn. Lenachem kol avelim. And Lenachem, back in Isaiah 61, verse 2, is the PL infinitive construct from Nacham, to comfort. And notice again, we have the Lamed, indicating that we're looking at an infinitive. And then we have the A-class vowel, followed by the I-class vowel. The chet here does not have to be doubled with a dogish forte, because we have what is called virtual doubling in the chet because of its harshness, this hard type of guttural. So he will comfort all of the mourners. Notice kol is a noun in construct, the totality, we could say, of mourners. And avelim is from, it's a noun, masculine plural, from the root aval, meaning to mourn. And so his ministry, the ministry of Jesus, is to comfort all who mourn. And when we look at the great Sermon on the Mount, we hear these very words, for example, in Matthew chapter 5, where he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And so, Jesus Christ fulfills these great words of Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. We see it especially realized in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus quoted these very words and applied it to his earthly ministry and his ministry of deliverance in full salvation to those who would believe in him. And so what a joy to know that Jesus Christ fulfills this great text in such vivid detail, that he is the one whom the Spirit anointed at his baptism. He is the one who preached to the poor and elevated those who were poor, especially poor and in need of salvation. And so he spoke release for those who were captive with sin and enslaved to sin, those who were blind in a spiritual sense. He brought sight to in what he accomplished. And finally, those who are oppressed, he brings release. And he came to preach that great year of Jubilee that is now realized as a result of his coming and his death and his resurrection. Praise the Lord that through Jesus Christ we're able to enter in to all of these truths of release and redemption that Jesus Christ has brought to us through his willingness to die for our sins, to conquer death and sin, and then to arise again the third day, in which we now have liberation from sin and death through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.